welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org, it's the commencement address of free speech because it's graduation time at a lot of schools. And this is the commencement address. The commencement address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The commencement number is 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by, waiting for your badly needed fundage. And that's at RBN. See what I did there? Okay, so today is Monday, and we've got Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. Always happy to start my week with you, and I've been looking forward to this quite a bit, because there's a lot of big topics to cover. So do you want to get us straight into the action?
Yeah, okay. So there are graduation ceremonies going on. Colleges are back at the center of attention. One of the most recent pieces of news was the administration, about a week ago, put a freeze on the interviews for foreign student visa, for student visa applications. People who are applying for student visas, they have to have some sort of interview with someone connected to the American embassy in their country. And those have been frozen. So none are going forward until the Education Department or the State Department comes up with a way of screening their social media for anti-Israel posts. Not anti-American posts, but anti-Israel posts. That's kind of the most recent thing, but there's a lot going on. We can talk about stuff related to that. It's kind of a graduation season theme. So I'll kick it over to you, Mark. For me, I feel pretty awkward having spent the past 12 or 13 years talking about how horrible the major universities are, and yet I'm a lot of what the at least over the past few weeks, a lot of these moves by the administration, I'm not happy with, and people like Ron Unz, he's a graduate of Harvard who's been rallying against Harvard for years, and he feels awkward too. He had a article kind of similar. So, but it's complicated, right? I mean, on the one hand, the people who run these schools are amongst our most vicious enemies. On the other hand, they're being attacked. And I have the worry that some of the things that are getting set up, like screening processes for looking at people's, probably using AI to do it, to look at people's social media for anti-Israel content, that's a dangerous precedent that could boomerang on us. So there's a lot of ways of looking at it.
Well, I disagree that, and I'll tell you why. Firstly, I'm going to deal with that issue. And obviously, people who listen to my show with David Duke, they probably know myself and David had a little bit of a set to, which I feel that I wasn't properly represented in that because I wasn't really allowed to get my point over. But I'll say this, those kind of screenings are already happening. And those kind of screenings already take place, but they take place in a different sense. So there are people excluded from universities in the UK for saying pro-white things or for saying racist things or for saying things that are considered a taboo in terms of trans rights or gay rights. So all of those things are already happening. But those things have exclusively disenfranchised whites. And I think that's a very fair point to make. All of those things have exclusively disenfranchised white students. They haven't, or prospective white students. Now, what's interesting here is these new rules are actually disenfranchising migrants. And I've got to say, and I think this is a fair point to make, I've been doing these broadcasts with you for maybe about a decade now. And over that decade, two things have been said about universities. First, we need to massively defund them because they are systemically anti-white. They are these anti-white cauldrons of hatred where young white people or young ethnic minorities go in and they come out hating white people and supporting anti-white causes. And the second thing that people have said is we need to limit drastically the number of student visas being given out. And that's especially true in the UK. I can give real perspective on that here. Because once you get a UK student visa, that often means that the students can bring their families, they get the right to stay once they have studied, because they always say, oh, we've spent so much money training them, it'd be madness to let them go back now. So then they stay here, their family stays here, they sometimes go back home, pick up a wife, bring her here, and student visas have been a massive source of chain migration into the UK, and I'm going to assume it works similarly in the US. So these are two results that we've always wanted. But we're getting these results not really in the way we wanted them. So we're getting the correct outcome, but not really for the right reasons. Because the reason student visas are going to be on hold, and the reason that these these faculties are going to be held up and defunded is because of their anti-Israel or the anti-Israel stance of many of these migrant students. Now, on the surface, this might make people like yourself and people like me say, oh, well, I've got a certain degree of sympathy for these students because they're taking an anti-Zionist or anti-Israeli line and they're speaking out. And some people might even say, oh, look, they're speaking out against Jewish power. Now, I'll say this. I don't think they are speaking out against Jewish power for a start. These universities, these faculties, are anti-white. And these students would be the kind of students that would rage against colonialism. They'd believe the official narrative on slavery, the official narrative on the Second World War. And they would be BLM supporters. And many of them are supporting the anti-Israeli cause, not because they're awoke to Zionism. They don't really know what Zionism is. Not because they're awoke to Jewish power. They absolutely don't understand Jewish power and wouldn't criticise Jewish media ownership, etc., etc., in the West. They are glomming on to this anti-Israel cause because they're anti-white. And I've seen these banners that they fly that read "End White Supremacy" with a picture of, you know, Israeli troops, the Star of David, the Israeli flag. And these people have been indoctrinated by institutions like Harvard to see white nations as evil, racist, colonialist, the purveyors of slavery, the architects of the Holocaust. And now they look at Israel and they actually see Jews as white, and they see Israel as a white supremacist exercise, a colonial exercise in the Middle East, being carried out by white people on behalf of Western powers, and they see Israel as an outpost of the West. Now, I'm not going to take up all the time. I want you to respond to the things I've said, but I will say one final thing. Fundamentally, these people, and this is why I have no sympathy for them, they are anti-white, they are the sort of people who'd support BLM, but fundamentally in this case, they've actually got everything completely the wrong way around. Israel is not, and I repeat, is not an outpost of the West. Israel controls the West, controls America, has disproportionate power in places like the US and the UK. This is not a white supremacist outpost. This is a Jewish supremacist outpost. And it isn't nationalism. Nationalism is a love for your own people, but it's also a mutual respect for other people in their own countries who are following their own path and treading the road as they see fit, taking their destiny into their own hands. That is not Zionism. Zionism is racial supremacy that seeks to deliver an ethno-state to the Jewish people whilst denying the same thing to other racial groups. So when I see these students saying, hey, look, you know, white supremacy needs to be ended in the Middle East. There is no white supremacy in the Middle East. In fact, I don't think there's any white supremacy really anywhere in the world. And this is very much a misguided group of people we don't actually want here because they're migrants, who are railing against Israel, not because it is a Jewish ethno-state, but because they think it's a white supremacist state. And frankly, from my perspective, I look at this and think, well, hey, do I have sympathy with these migrants? No. Do I have sympathy with these institutions? No. Do I mind if the migrants go back? Definitely not. I'd like it. Do I mind if these institutions lose their power? No, I would cheer that on. And I see what's happening now to be one of the inevitable shortcomings of Jewish power destroying the West via anti-white rhetoric and mass immigration. They brought these people here, they've seeded these horrible anti-white themes, and they've backfired on them. Because this idea, this plan of wrecking the West, is a very short-term plan that was really spurred on by an atavistic ethnic hatred, but it wasn't truly thought through. And now it is backfiring on the very people that spurred the plan on. And from my point of view, for my money, I'm not disappointed about that, and I'm not going to be crying any tears for those students, nor am I going to be crying any tears for the institutions that have spread this anti-white, pro-LGBT garbage for generations that now may be losing their funding. To me, this is a clear sign that the system we're living under is getting closer to collapse. And that, for me, again, got to say it, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I actually don't think we're going to get these results. You know, after Trump's election, around the time of the election, the inauguration, Trump and Elon Musk, well, I mean, Trump, he took up this meme of we should staple green cards to the back of diplomas. And that, I haven't heard him walk that back at all. That's not an official policy, but that's been his stated position. And I don't think we're going to have a decrease in foreign students. Right now, supposedly, we have about a million foreign students. A million people aren't here on student visas. And about 3,000, according to Marco Rubio, about 3,000 have had their visas revoked. So that's 0.3%. So it's not, that in it of itself is not a big decrease. What you might wind up having is the foreign students from Muslim countries. They're the most likely ones. I mean, those are the ones that are most likely to be demonstrating against Israel or having anti-Israeli posts. The biggest groups of foreign students are from China and from India. And I'm not sure which is more, if it's the Chinese or the Indians. And they're likely not to be affected at all because they're not really... Maybe some of the, they're really not that involved. The ones who are involved are Muslims, Arabs. And to the extent that some of them wind up, some new ones wind up not coming, those seats that they would have taken, are they going to be taken by Americans or are they going to be taken by other foreigners? And who knows? The thing about foreigners is they tend to pay full price for tuition, and the tuition at a place like Harvard is going to be about $80,000 a year. The Americans typically only pay a fraction of that, unless they're from wealthy families. They don't pay that much. So, and when we say Americans, amongst the Americans, you're still only like white people are still going to be no more than a third out of the Americans. Out of the total student body at a place like Harvard, white Americans are less than 25%. They're probably closer to 20%, maybe even less now. Foreigners have been somewhere around 10, maybe 15% foreigners. And then Jews and assorted non-whites make up the rest. And even though the Supreme Court overturned... what is it? Affirmative action. it hasn't impacted the enrollment. There was a higher percentage ever of blacks that were enrolled in Harvard this past autumn, despite the overturning of affirmative action. So I don't think it's going to make a difference in the overall number of student visas being issued. They put a pause on it for right now. But, I mean, the pause is just to come up with a system for screening social media specifically for anti-Israel posts. And I don't think that's something that has been done, but it's something that's going to be done in the future. It'll probably be done for all sorts of things. It might wind up being done for gayness and for other things. Who knows? But what Trump is concerned about, or the Trump administration, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, it's all about Jews. And just the last thing I'm going to say, just the way they're handling everything is any... when you had these two Israeli embassy employees who were murdered in Washington, well, I mean, we get murder. We have how many tens of thousands of murders do we have in the United States every year, and how many racially motivated murders against whites? And you got all this genocide going on in Israel, but these two murders, you had to have Pam Bondi go to the scene and head up the investigation. Then you had to have Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem rush off to Israel. And I think it's just absurd. The amount of effort that is being exerted by the Trump administration to make a big show of fighting rampant anti-Semitism in America, and this, what's going on at the universities, is being done as part of that process. And so that's why, I'm not happy about it. So that's what I think. We can talk about it more. We can move on to some other things.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested because, you see, obviously I understand your argument, and I see where you're coming from, that this is, you know, the wrong reason. We want the universities to lose their funding because they're anti-white. We want the universities to crack down on foreign students because we don't want an influx of foreigners into our country. We don't want people coming here. We don't want green cards stapled to the back of diplomas. And I'd kind of describe it that we've got the right outcome, but for maybe the wrong reasons. You know, I would like to ensure that, you know, foreign students that came to America and spouted anti-white rhetoric weren't allowed into America. That is something that, I would nail down. And if I was in charge of the UK, I would certainly ensure that was the case. I wouldn't want anyone coming to this country and being given the right to study here who was going to start spewing anti-white rhetoric. But that's one thing I will say, Patrick, is a lot of what these people are saying is anti-white. They are anti-Israel, but they are anti-Israel because they believe that Israel is this white supremacist outpost in the Middle East. And my concern is, I wouldn't want these migrants here, not because they are anti-Israel. It doesn't bother me if they're anti-Israel. I'm very happy for them to be anti-Israel in their own countries. But they come here, and let's just say the big issue of the day wasn't the issue of Israel murdering Palestinians, but the big issue of the day was another George Floyd, or BLM were rallying for some other reason. These would be the kind of people who would support that, and they would support that anti-white rhetoric, and they would have their anti-white supremacist banners at the ready to march.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone, and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces. And now how do you do?
The Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
To march and protest against the well-being of white Americans. So I see this as a way of essentially getting rid of people that we don't particularly want, and I see that as a good thing, because we don't want them here. Now, are we getting rid of them for the reasons that you and I would probably get rid of them? The answer is no. Are we getting rid of them, though? Yes, so we still have the same result.
I don't think we're not getting rid of very many. It's a drop in the bucket.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to address. Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the big problems we have in the West, and I've talked about this extensively on my own shows, is that we are definitely wanting a reduction. I think we'll all agree here. We definitely want a reduction in mass migration, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely want a reduction in mass migration. And we also want a precedent set that allows us to get rid of people who came here legally. And I think that's very important. Now, we have an MP here called Rupert Lowe. And Rupert Lowe, he was elected as a Reform MP, but then he fell out with Nigel Farage, and now he sits as an independent. And he made a very interesting tweet today. And that very interesting tweet was in relation to legal immigration. And he turned around and he said, you know, the elephant in the room is basically that, you know, everyone talks extensively about illegal immigration. But the fact is, legal
immigration dwarfs that. And we need to really, if we're going to sort of sort out these demographic problems, we need to address that elephant in the room. And that's one of the things we've always said, that it'd be relatively easy for any government, if they wanted to start deporting illegal migrants. But to truly have a chance of winning America or the UK back, we would need to rapidly redress the issue, or address the issue and then redress the problem of legal immigration that has swamped the country, and basically begin taking back the right by saying, look, you know, we need a way to legally remove those who are in our country that shouldn't be here, that came here, and I've got to stress this, legally. Now, I think, although I don't like the reasoning for why Trump is doing this, I still think it has some merit, and I believe it has some merit because, fundamentally, we are in a position here where it sets a precedent that there can be change based around these student visas. And as I said, elsewhere in the West, and it is for the wrong reason, you know, as I said, it's not for the reason that I would do this, but the fact is, here in the UK, things like this are immensely helpful because it does go to show that governments can tackle legal migration. There can be a halt put on these student visas. And if America can do it, well, why can't France? Why can't Germany? Why can't Great Britain? Why can't other countries begin to put something in place that reduces this swamping mass of people that are coming in again and again and again and again? And as I said, I am completely with you, Patrick, when, you know, you say, well, I'm uncomfortable about this because, you know, basically this is Jewish power. But at the same time, Jews have told us again and again and again, like ad infinitum, that, oh, we can't do anything about this. You know, this can't be done. We can't go back on the student visa schemes. This would be barbaric. Well, here they're actually showing us that that can actually happen, that we can actually affect some kind of change over these things we were told that we were powerless to affect, which, again, I see as a positive in terms of moving forward. Now, I'm not expecting Trump to sort of get everything under control and at the end we live in a white ethno state, but the fact that he's giving, the fact that these kinds of things give a certain degree of power and energy and, you know, momentum to groups in Europe, to groups, you know, elsewhere in the white world, basically, that want to reduce immigration and have been told, you know, no country in its right mind would ever stop student visas. They're the ones we want. We want them. We want them to flood in. They're the brightest and boldest, and they're the ones that make our country so great. And here's Trump saying, no, you've got to go. I do think there are positives to this, but I don't in any way want to undermine your extremely good point that even if we are getting the right result, which you rightly have pointed out, we might not get that many of them actually going home anyway. So, you know, is it really that much of a result? And that could be argued for the entire Trump regime, because let's face it, you know, when he came in, the first thing we heard was deportations, deportations, deportations. And now we've heard, well, not deportations if they work in this industry, not deportations if they work in this industry. Well, if you're in hospitality, if you're in farming, if you're in the hotel industry, we need you, so keep coming over that border. You know, so you do get these knockbacks, but I still think there has been an increased momentum towards deportations, the blocking of migrants entering. And I think, considering how far down the line...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Momentum towards deportations, you know, the blocking of migrants entering. And I think, considering how far down the line the white race are, and I mean that in a very negative way, you know, how close we are to our own sort of absolution in certain countries, to minority status, I do see, you know, anything like this is a little, can be a help in some ways, albeit, you know, not done for the right reasons. We would stop migration because we want white people to remain a majority. They're stopping migration not because they're bothered about white ethnic status. They're stopping it because, well, hey, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we don't want you to say bad things about Israel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, which obviously I want people to have the right to say bad things about Israel. But I'm more interested in, and this is the final point I'll make, I'm more interested in sort of white Americans making points about Israel than am about migrants making points about Israel. And the reason being is they're the people that I am more willing to, you know, I'm more interested in them waking up. My sort of crusade in life is to wake up the white man to numerous problems, one of which is, of course, Zionist and Jewish power. But, you know, that's a separate point to what's happening at these universities, because, as I said, these universities aren't really waking up to the issues that you and I speak about. they're on some bizarre train where they think, you know, Israel's the outpost of America and this white supremacy and colonialism must be stopped, where if you actually analyse things, as you and I have done many, many times, it is the opposite way round. You know, Israel is the dog and America is the wagging tail. It's not the other way around. You know, Israel is the puppet master, America is the puppet. Israel is not the little outpost that America says, right, do our bidding. Israel is the, you know, the seat of power where the rulers say to Americans, die for us. And that's something that if I was to sit down with any of these people who are raging against Israel, I would do my best to point out, because I think that really is the big issue of our era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody, and maybe I've missed something, but I have not heard anybody from the administration talk about lowering the amount of student visas that are issued. It's just about screening who comes. And as far as the universities are concerned, the foreign students, like I said before, because they pay full price, they make it easier for the universities to accept American citizens who are from less wealthy backgrounds, which tends to mean the blacks and the Hispanics, but also whites from more modest backgrounds. So they're likely to just I don't see why they would decrease the overall number of foreign students they have just because they can't take ones who have had, if somebody can't pass the State Department screening, well, then that seat that they don't take, it's going to probably wind up being taken by another foreign student. So I really don't think it's going to reduce overall foreign enrollment in the United States. And I haven't heard anybody talk, you know, walk back the rhetoric about the stapling the green cards. One thing I do want to say, because I have spent a fair amount of time on a variety of college campuses since October 7th. Elite schools, New York University, George Washington, University of Chicago, Washington University of St. Louis, and several others. And at first, after this happened, after October 7th, you saw, a lot of flyers put up. I really never walked through the encampment so much, but, you know, flyers and things like that. And the vast majority of everything was just on the genocide, on killing children. And I think this is really what's motivating people, is what they see on TikTok, the babies being killed, all this stuff. Now, in the United States, and it's not just these leftist students. Even you listen to Judge Napolitano's show and all his former military people, Colonel Wilkerson, or, you know, these people who were in the military, who were in the CIA. They all spout this stuff about settler colonialism. It's widespread. So, like, out of the people who speak out about the Israeli genocide, not just the people on the left, but even a lot of people who would be considered conservatives or on the right are still talking about it as being white. Even somebody like Scott Ritter, I mean, he still says that it's America that runs Israel. And, you know, he a major. So it's a big problem. I mean, your criticism about people calling this anti-white, it's not that it's incorrect to say that that's what these students think this, but it's not limited to the students. It's virtually universal, because you're not allowed to. I mean, there's so much. What is it? I mean, there are so many penalties that you face, so many problems you face, so much trouble you face if you talk about Israel as acting badly because of maybe Jewish culture. If it's, you know, you can't blame the Jews for anything, so you have to blame white people. The white people are the only people you can blame, and that's not limited to the left. Unfortunately, it's really widespread.
But isn't that part of the problem?
It is. It's a huge part of the problem, and so, you know, we do our best to try to counter that, but it's like, yeah, and it has to be countered. But, yeah, unfortunately...
See, that's my thing, Patrick. Mm-hmm. That's my thing here. So, I'm against... I mean, I've spoken out with you before about slavery and colonialism. I don't think they're good systems. And I do believe that Israel is a colonialist project, but it is a Jewish colonialist project. And it's an apartheid state, but it's a Jewish apartheid state.
I think that's bad-mouthing apartheid too much. I push back on that.
I was just about to actually follow that up by saying it's much worse than apartheid by many magnitudes.
Yes.
But the point that I'm trying to make here is I am very uncomfortable labeling this in such a way, because the problem is when you do label it in this particular way, you end up with a little bit of a problem. And the problem is you actually begin reinforcing a vehemently anti-white narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you claim, as you know, and I don't listen to Scott Ritter or some of the people you've mentioned, so I can't say that, oh, I've listened to that. Yeah, yes, I agree. Yeah. But I have no reason to, you know, do anything other than take your word on that. But I'll say this. If you are saying that Israel is a white nation and you are saying that Israel is doing this as a colonialist endeavor, and you start to flip this and you start to talk about this in terms of white colonial power, at that point you're not doing white people any favors.
Nope.
Now obviously I'm against the state of Israel. I'm against any form of colonialism, really. I look back at sort of Britain's colonial past, and it was a mistake, and it certainly hasn't helped us in the long run. Although I believe that Britain gave far more than it took to the countries it colonised, it has left us with this bizarre problem where many Brits feel that we are in some way morally responsible for looking after the people from those countries, which is a very bad thing. Now, my issue with all of this, to be absolutely clear, is if we let this narrative continue, and if this idea that this is a, you know, white supremacist state, you know, continues, what we're going to end up with is exactly what we've always had, which is essentially white people being blamed for crimes that they haven't committed.
Yeah.
So yet again, we end up in this horrible situation where Whitey gets the bloody blame for, that's a very British thing to say, isn't it? Whitey gets the bloody blame.
Yeah.
But yeah, Whitey gets the blame for effectively what another group of people are doing, which is, and what they are doing is, you know, 100% the wrong thing. You know, what the Jews are doing in Israel is the wrong thing. But to allow the narrative to be flipped so that yet again, you know, this is seen as an issue of say, white supremacy, to me, is unforgivable and completely incorrect, because we, as a people, shouldn't be getting the blame for this. And if it is the left, and when the left do push this, that then furthers anti-white hatred within Western nations. So, you know, there is anti-white hatred in Western nations. We know there's anti-white mm-hmm. hatred in Western nations. And anti-white hatred is something that is fermented often by the left in numerous ways. And we see this sort of, you know, happen with things such as the George Floyd, incidents and all of this. And when it does happen, it impacts white people in numerous ways. And I think what we're actually seeing here is very, very deeply unfortunate. But it does yet again paint the white guy as the bad guy. And I can't personally, you know, enjoy that. I can't look at that and say, well, look, we shouldn't really say anything about that. Because, you know, to me, we have to push back on that. We have to say, well, look, the white guy isn't the bad guy here. The white guy is actually, the reasonable one, because people like myself and you, we're white guys. We don't want this massacre. We don't want this. And we certainly don't want this being sort of written up as some kind of hideous white supremacy that you, me, and every other white person out there then gets the blame for. This has got to be written up in the correct way. And it's why I don't actually think there's ever going to be there's a lot of talk within, you know, from particularly people on the right who then start talking about, well, could there one day be a time where white people came together, what, you know, right wing sort of nationalistic whites came together with those on the left to oppose the state of Israel? And my answer to that, unfortunately, is always no. And the reason I say no is because the left's analysis of all of this is fundamentally at odds with our analysis of all this. And the left want every country to be a multicultural country, and we want white countries to be homogenous ethno-states, and we also want a homogenous ethno-state for the Palestinians, because they're having their land seized much in the same way that we, as white folk, are having our land seized. And I think it's, look, I think it's a complex situation. Okay, and I'm not, I don't think there's immediately an answer for everything, but I don't think it's as simple as, you know, opposing, sort of getting on board with these groups because they oppose Israel. Because you can oppose Israel for the wrong reasons, and if you're opposing Israel because you believe Israel is a white supremacist society, you will then oppose the idea of Britain, Germany, France, and America for those same misguided reasons. And I'll say this, I believe that Britain, you know, Germany, France, and America have a much greater right to exist than Israel. And I think, especially when you're talking about Britain, France, and Germany, where whites are the indigenous people, we have an absolute right to exist. Now, obviously, Israel is not a country where Jews are indigenous. In fact, you know, Jews have reclaimed that land, or so-called reclaimed that land, on the basis of, you know, a religious claim to the land. And, you know, from my perspective, that's wholly wrong. And I think when you unpackage all of this, again, it's not a Jew, it's not sort of a white supremacist goal to take Israel. It is a Jewish ethno-religious goal, which is being done for sort of very, very different reasons, in fact, to, I'd say, most other, if not all other forms of colonialism, and unlike other forms of colonialism. So when Britain sort of went into places in Africa, you know, if you look at, say, South Africa, look what we built. We built such an amazing country that, in fact, blacks from all over Africa came to South Africa to live with whites, because we'd built something absolutely fantastic. That's a fact. Now, most of the blacks now who claim that South Africa is their nation aren't actually, and this is the bizarre thing, but they're not actually native to that part of Africa. They've come from other parts of Africa. The natives of South Africa are actually the Bushmen. Very, very small ethnic group now, but they're actually the natives. And that tells you something about, you know, Western colonialism. Western colonialism is very, very interesting, because when we do create a colonial power, often, you know, the people we're meant to be horrible to, in inverted commas, actually rush to live with us because of how nice we make places. Now, I don't think it's unfair to say, and I think we'll both agree on this 110%, but I don't think there's a single Palestinian in the whole of the occupied territories that are, the world over, in fact, that would be actually rushing to live in those occupied territories, because Palestinians in those occupied territories are treated so horrendously. It is, and I don't think it's hyperbole to say this, I think it's probably the most, one of, if not the most brutal form of colonialism the world's ever known.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, unfortunately, in the United States and elsewhere, well, people who listen to this show, one thing that they know is Paul Stevenson comes on often, and we bitch about the Judge Napolitano's show and Alexander Mercurius, and how none of these people can talk about what's going on in Gaza without somehow, usually without invoking a certain mustachioed gentleman from the 1930s and 40s, right, from a country in Europe.
Got a clue who you're talking about, Patrick. You'll have to spell his name out.
Mackenzie King from Canada. you know, they always referencing that, or they're referencing it's an apartheid state, or, you know, white colonialism.
It's really unfortunate. And so the audience hears me and Paul Stevenson bitching about this all the time, because the people out there, and the white people out there, they haven't heard, most of them haven't heard your analysis, and so they don't have the arguments to make. But about these, the people who are doing the demonstrations on the campuses, to the extent that they consider Israel white country, and this is typical, this is Chomsky. Chomsky has a huge, and Chomsky is, like, out of living people, he's the most quoted person or the most cited person in academic papers who's alive today.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee has come to carry the cotton away. Watch them shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your bed.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendovite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Gangnam Style.
To the extent that they consider Israel white country, and this is typical, this is Chomsky. Chomsky has a huge, and Chomsky is, like, out of living people, he's the most quoted person or the most cited person in academic papers who's alive today. So, and this is a Chomsky position that you know, Israel is a tool of American foreign policy, and it's a white settler colonialism, and this and that. And but the people on the Chomsky people, the people on the left, have believed this for the past, well, ever since Chomsky's been saying it, that Israel's been like this for 70 years. But it's only been the past 20 months that they're coming out and demonstrating. So what's bringing them out in the demonstrations is the slaughter of the Palestinians and the babies and these images. That's what's bringing them out. That's the first order. And then, you know, well, why do the Israelis do such things? Well, it can't be because there's anything wrong with Jews, because Jews are such wonderful people. So it has to be, you know, then everything gets blamed on the whites. But what's bringing them out? What's bringing them out is the slaughter, and because they've only been out for the past 20 months, and unfortunately they're really not out anymore. They were smacked down. When did they get smacked down? They got smacked down when they started getting rounded up and deported, and so nobody's coming out anymore. They've been smacked down. But you've had a
look. This is my other problem with this, Patrick. This is my other problem with this, and this is why we shouldn't. You know, this is why.
Yeah, and this will be the last word because we only have a couple more minutes. But go ahead.
Well, this is the other reason why I'm taking the stance I'm taking. You're saying that people are coming out because of the horrific slaughter. Yeah. Now, I've come out because of the horrific slaughter. I've done many shows about this. I even did a review of Louis Theroux's The Settlers and brutally exposed the, you know, the anti-Arab, ethno-supremacist nature of the state of Israel. I've done this knowing that I could potentially get my house raided for simply talking about this. So I am fully on board with exposing this. And I absolutely abhor the death and the slaughter that's going on in Israel. I can't stand to see these poor Palestinians being bombed and killed. And I certainly don't want the 2.1 million survivors coming to Europe either. So I've got multiple reasons why I oppose this war. But what you've said is very important. But it really does underline why I'm correct on this. If people believe that this disgusting slaughter is a slaughter carried out by white people, and if these people are not hearing our nationalist position that we oppose Jewish ethnocentrism when it's taken down this Zionist route that leads to both the slaughter of the Palestinians and the multicultural madness we see in the West, when we are being ignored and when people are being misled and believe that it is whites carrying out this sickening slaughter, if that is allowed to continue, unfortunately, it will only further anti-white rhetoric, because people will yet again see whites as these unbelievable demons that do terrible, unthinkable, disgusting things, when in fact, the switched-on decent whites like me and you are fully opposed to this madness and are doing our best to fight back against it. And that's why I urge people to not in any way support the state of Israel, but also not to support these sort of left-wing appraisals of what's going on, because ultimately the left-wing appraisal leads back and feeds back into this anti-white system, one that we fight against.
Okay, well, that's about all the time that we've got for today. But yeah, that was an interesting discussion, so I want to thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on it. Look, this has been an absolutely phenomenal show, and being able to talk about it in such a mature manner, I can't thank you enough. I've really, really enjoyed it, so thank you so much.
Okay, good. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
As you can plainly see.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. at the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles, and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.